So our scripture today tells a story, really the end of a story. It's the culmination of 7 years of work and many more years of dreams. The dream of a permanent place of worship for the Israelites, of a permanent dwelling place for God, began with David. But God informed David that he wouldn't be the one building the temple. Instead, that would be his son's task. And now the day had finally arrived. And Solomon and the people gathered to celebrate, offering many sacrifices. The Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's dwelling place that had been carried with the people through 40 years of wilderness journeying, that held the Ten Commandments that had been given to Moses, that was placed in the innermost part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And as it was put into place, a cloud, which had been throughout that wilderness journey the symbol of God's presence with the Israelites, it filled the space. It was a day of great celebration. In this past year, has made us very aware that the church is not the building at 4165 Colonial Avenue. And yet, this sacred space does have a purpose. While it doesn't contain God, it does give us access to God. It's holy ground, not just because of the beautiful design of the sanctuary that points us toward God with its high ceilings, but because it is one place, one of many, where we can meet with God. It is, however, just one such place. If we read further in 1 Kings 8, we see Solomon's prayer. He says, "But how could God possibly live on earth? If heaven, even the highest heaven, can't contain you, how can this temple that I've built contain you? Lord my God, listen to your servant's prayer and request, and hear the cry of prayer that your servant prays to you today. Constantly watch over this temple, the place about which you said, 'My name will be there,' and listen to the prayer that your servant is praying toward this place. Listen to the request of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place." How could God possibly live on earth? If heaven can't contain you, how can this place that I've built contain you? Solomon had no way of knowing how right he was to ask that question. The temple couldn't contain God. And the place about which God said, "My name will be there," wasn't enough. Instead, God came to earth as one of us, and because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the place where God now dwells is in us and through us, and it is we who bear God's name. We, like the temple, are holy vessels and God-bearers. In other words, we are saints. In scripture, the early church referred to itself as ecclesia. Here's your Greek lesson for the day. It comes from the word, from the preposition ek, which means out of, and the verb kaleo, which means to call. And so ecclesia literally means the called out ones. That is how the church referred to themselves. And saints are just that. We are just that. Members of the church. People who are called out, set apart in response to the holiness and set apartness of God. Sarah Bessie writes of the church, "It's just all of us folks who are brought together by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes whether we like each other or not, whether we want to claim each other or not, and we are still connected by our commitment to the way of Jesus, even if that way leads us out and away from our familiar paths." Solomon's temple, God's temple, was a holy holy place. It was appropriate for the worship of God. But it could not be a permanent dwelling place for God, because God can't be contained by structures created by humans, whether they are buildings or traditions or institutions. In the same way, worship of God is a vital part of what it means for us to be church. It's important that we worship together and individually, but that's only a part of what it means to be the church. Richard Rohr warns us that worship of Jesus is rather harmless and risk-free. Actually, following Jesus changes everything. Following Jesus changes everything. Those we honor today knew that. And on this day, when we honor the saints of our church, we're also called to consider that we too are called to be saints. Worship, whether we're gathered here in this building or somewhere scattered around the country, it's a vital ministry of the church. We must acknowledge God's holiness and our dependence on God. That's what we do during worship. But we're called not just to honor God's holiness, but to live holy, set apart lives. The idea of being a saint can be a little overwhelming, I think. But it helps me to remember that sainthood is less about what we do than what God chooses to do through us. As Frederick Buechner says, when you consider that St. Mary Magdalene was possessed by seven devils, that St. Augustine prayed, "Give me chastity and continence, but not just yet." That St. Francis started out as this high-living young dude in downtown Assisi, part of the partying crowd, and that St. Simeon Stylites spent years on top of a 60-foot pillar, you figure that maybe there's nobody God can't use as a means of grace, even ourselves. God doesn't want our worship to be a separate part of our lives that happens only in the context of corporate worship, as important as that is. God calls us to live both holy and whole lives, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in all things, to allow God's light to shine through us in all things. That has sometimes been how a saint is described. Saints are someone who lets the light shine through them. To be a saint is to be human, because we're created to be human. To be a saint is to live with courage and self-restraint, but it's more than that. To be a saint is to live not with our hands clenched to grasp or to strike or to hold tight to a life that is always slipping away the more tightly we hold it, but it's to live with the hands stretched out, both to give and receive with gladness. To be a saint is to work and to weep for the broken and the suffering of the world, but it's also to be strangely light of heart in the knowledge that there is something greater than this world that mends and renews all things. Maybe more than anything else, to be a saint is to know joy. And as we look at the lives of the saints we honor today, as we worship God in our holy places here in the sanctuary or the other places God's presence has made holy for us, as we live and love as God's people, as we go, may our lives be holy and holy dwelling places.